different that feels in your voice? Which way does it feel higher and more uncomfortable?
Quiet.
Quiet, yeah. Right? So the reason I'm telling you this is because something that a lot of beginning keyers do, and this is something that I did for the first year that I was keying, is I would want to present the class with a confident, finished key. And so I would say to myself, oh, that's really high. I should lower it. But if I had gone fa, sol, la, fa, la, it's fine, right? So when you are thinking about a key, if you're testing out the top of the part in a quiet voice, you're going to get it wrong. You're going to key it too low, right? So in my opinion, in my considered opinion, the best way to sound a key is in a full voice like that. And if you sing it in a full voice like that and you get to the top and it's too high, you do the following. Fa, sol, la, fa, la. Wait. Fa, sol, la, fa, la. That's, maybe we'll take it a little bit lower. Work it out right up there in front of everybody. That's fine. Everybody wants you to give them the right key. Right? So they're willing to wait while you kind of work it out like that for yourself. Okay, I would like to now transition into looking at the book and singing in parts and talking about keys there. But if there are questions before we do that.
There are some mysteriously missing keys in the singer cover. There are keys that are, you have very few songs
in. The key of B minor, there's one song. There are two songs in C sharp minor. There's a lot of songs in B flat. But all of the most frequent keys are represented.
What is the one song in B minor?
68 on the top, same one. It's basically an A minor. Okay, somewhere is in the book. Okay, so what we've talked about so far is basically Ian's magical system for reducing all keys to three. So take that lesson with you. And we will now focus on the other very important part about keying, which is how you communicate the key to us, how you kind of deliver that key. And I have a very specific ideology of how you do that. I will recognize that this is not the only way to give a key, but it's the way I recommend to give a key. So let's take a look at Liverpool, which is on page 37 on the bottom. Okay, so let me now just give you a window inside my mind as I'm sitting at in the front bench of the tenors, which is where you should always sit when you're keying, even if you're not a tenor, which I'm not. So somebody calls this song, I have to give it. Here's what I do. Step one, what key is this song in? It's in F major. Okay, so I know which one of my kind of three basic keys it's gonna be. It's gonna be the medium low one. Then I'm gonna scan through that song, and I'm gonna start with the tenor part, and I'm gonna ask myself, are there any very high or very low notes on the song, in this part? And the answer to that question is a very simple one. You can sort of ask yourself, are there any notes that are outside of the staff, on the top or on the bottom, right? And in this case, there are not. So that means that probably I'm just gonna stick with the basic bog standard medium low key for this. But first I'm gonna check the treble part as well. And I'm gonna see, are there any outrageously high or low notes in there? No. Great, so bog standard it is. Have I looked at the altos or the basses?
No, not really. How about that?
So let me just actually say a few more words about that in particular. Take a look at page 58. Altos are chuckling at the mere mention of the number. Describe to me the difference between the range of the treble part and the range of the alto part. Well, they're sometimes above and sometimes below, but the compass of those voices is the same, right? That's not the usual way, but it's the way with this song. It's the way with Alabama on page 196. It's the way with a lot of other alto songs. And you cannot solve that problem by keying. That is a problem with the repertory. It's just, in some styles that fit into this repertory, the fourth part was a second treble part, and in some other parts of this repertory, the fourth part is an alto part. So you can't key your way out of that problem. You can just make sure, if you're keying one of those songs, that you don't boost it up too high, or on the low side if you have one of these parts where the altos are up instead. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about 37 on the bottom. Okay, so I've observed that the song is in F major. I have checked the compass of the tenor and treble parts to make sure there's no unusually high or low notes. And now I'm prepared to give out the key. So the two things that I want to make sure to do are to give out every note that is somebody's first note, right? In this case, that's a fa and a la and a so, right? Fa, la, so, fa. Now, somehow you all knew to start singing at a certain moment, right? Let me tell you how you knew this, because I don't think you might know how you knew this. So what I did first was I went fa, la, so, and then I stopped for just a tiny microsecond, and then I gave the first note of the tenor part, because I'm facing them. Fa, la, so, fa, la. And that is everybody's cue to sound their chord. What I appreciate is that nobody started sounding their chord until I gave the first note of the tenor part. And that's because, as I was just saying before, sometimes you will sound, the keyer will sound the key and realize that it's wrong and make an adjustment. And that's really hard to do if I go, fa, la, so, and then you're already there, right? If you're already there, I can't really change the key. So the class, most classes seem to just kind of unconsciously know. You wait until the keyer has settled on the key and is sure that that's the right key, and then you sound the part. And the keyer's cue for that is usually singing the first note of the tenor part. As, for example, in China, fa, so, la, fa, la, and then usually the class waits a little time to make sure that the keyer thinks really that's right. But the keyer keeps on singing it until you join them, and that's another little cue. If I just go, la, I don't need to wave my hands, normally in a keying environment, for you to do that. You just recognize that you've settled on that. So as a keyer, it's important that you kind of understand all of these little cues, and that you let the class know, both when you don't want them to be sounding their chord, and when you do want them to be sounding their chord. And as a member of the class who is not keying, it's also your responsibility to let the keyer settle on that pitch and wait for your cue to sound that chord. And if everybody plays their part like that, which most classes that I've ever been in just seem to know how to do without me telling you how to do them, then that's great. So, back to page 37. So this is a very simple song. It's got all of the notes in the triad, and only the notes in the triad. So it's enough for me just to go, fa, la, so, fa. Good. Now, look at the song above. What's the difference between the starting chord and the top piece and the bottom piece? Okay, there's no la. So this is where my own particular ideology differs from others. Sometimes people will just give you the whole triad in every song. My recommendation is that you only sound the notes that are in that first chord. So for the top piece, I'll go, fa, so, fa. Great, that all worked out well. Sorry about that. Okay, let's go across the page. This is a good page for learning how to key because all of these songs are basically in the bog standard versions of their keys. Yeah.
Question, comment. A couple of years ago, Holly Lee was here and he was doing a little singing school. And one of the things that he said to us, which I thought was like really a valuable thing for keyers and perhaps even especially new people who are starting to pitch, was it was very helpful to actually sound the note and point to the part.
Yeah.
And especially if you're singing like a song you're not very familiar with a group you're not very familiar with, or with some strange arrangement with only like male trebles or something like that. Because sometimes there are three la's, and it's like, which is my la?
Well, and this is where we're going to on the left side of the page, right? Because these are minor songs, and in minor you have a problem that you don't have in major. which is that almost every minor song begins with at least la being the first note of the scale, and also la being the first note of the scale. And I'm sure everybody remembers when they were very, very new singers, and it was always a panic when you're singing a minor song, which one of those laws is mine? So I'm totally on board with Tali Lee's suggestion, particularly when it comes to laws, and particularly when it comes to the altos. Because what another thing that I kind of see a lot of keyers doing without necessarily knowing they're doing it is la, la, right? Cueing with their eyes whose la is whose. But the altos may not know that, and sometimes it's very helpful just to give them a little point when you're singing their notes. So let's look at 36 on the top, and let's think this all through before we do it. Number one, check the range. Are there any notes that are outrageously high or low? Those G's are kind of high. Those G's are a normal part of A minor. A minor tunes have this property that they tend to like to go la, fa, mi, la, la, so, la, and not go up to the top la, but just have that so there in the meantime. Yeah. That's just a thing. It's a property of A major, of A minor songs. Idi Mia is like that. This song is like that. Lots of them are like that. And so the standard key for A already has that baked in to it. So when you're looking at an A minor song and you see those G's sitting up on the top, that's fine. That's already part of what it means to be an A minor. So, am I going to have to give one law or two laws?
Two.
I'm going to give two laws. And who has the main law? Who has the A?
Tenors,
basses, and trebles. And it's only the altos who have the law. So here's how I give that key. La, la, right? So just let them know that that la belongs to them. And that's how they know it. And then everybody else just assumes that they have it. La. Good. Should we sing this? See how it goes?
Yeah.
La.
La.
Sorry, I want to say one more thing. Alto, sing your first note.
La.
How did I give it to them? La. See what happens if I try it the other. If I try to sing the actual note that I'm singing. La. La. So this is a very important thing to recognize, is that when two people who have different vocal ranges are trying to communicate a pitch to each other, part of that is through the kind of oral quality of the pitch class or whatever it is, but the other thing is just modeling the physical behavior, right? So when I go la, la, right, I'm modeling that it's low in my voice,
right.
And so they're also singing one that's low in their voice. It is not helpful to try to match the pitch in somebody else's vocal range.